You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, Waste Connections of Tennessee, and Volunteer Vodka.
Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. Facility maintenance will give you a 10-time return on your investment. You'll have a reduction in maintenance costs, an elimination of breakdowns, reduction in downtime, and an increase in production. You add all that up together, 10 times your return on investment. Extend your assets lifetime. Save some money on corrective repairs, better margins, and better profits. LloydsElectricService.com, your business, our priority. LloydsElectricService.com, 865-692-6700, if you want to contact them. Talked about Jarrett Garantano's redemption. This character arc he's on is really good. This is all going to culminate with Tennessee going 7-5 and Garantano getting carried off the field as the fans chant, "One more year, one more year, one more year." But I think on the defensive side of the ball, man, like Nigel Warrior, he's someone who is figuring it out right at the right time. Like his development, I don't know if I'm supposed to give Ansley and Pruitt all the credit or if it's a story of a four-star legacy kid with a lot of talent finally figuring it out and reaching his potential. I don't know who deserves the credit. It's probably a mixture of both. But Nigel Warrior, Cody, has been really, really good for Tennessee since the first couple weeks. Like, he has turned it on. Having a little bit of a Jonathan Crompton type of finish as the quarterback of the defense. And I know, like, Betulli's probably the actual quarterback of the defense, but Nigel's been the guy making plays.
Yeah, Nigel Warrior, he had a big game on Saturday. I was looking through Missouri's schedule. I don't understand how you start 5-1 and then you lose to Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Well, who are the five teams they beat? West Virginia sucks.
Ole Miss.
That reminds me. There's been this West Virginia fan who was talking trash to me earlier in the year. He talked trash to me all last year. I'm going to go slide in his DMs.
It's probably the one that sent you the gummies.
I don't think it is, but I'm going to go find him and slide in his DMs. I mean, because I don't know if you saw, but West Virginia's on a five-game losing streak. They got smacked by Texas Tech.
Why slide in his DMs? You could make it public.
I don't want to do that. He messages me all the time. He always DMs me, so there's a thread. Oh. I don't want to get like in a public spat with him. More so than just like talking about on the radio, but like,
which is really
plus
I'm
allowed to.
I
can also like cuss him out if I'm in the DMs. I don't like cussing on the timeline. I'm professional.
What are you gonna say?
Something good.
Something really just mean. Just
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Family.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Here he is.
He should talk about his family.
Last time we talked was September 5th. His last thing he sent was, here were the last, he got mad and kept sending me all these things in a row. Like, let me, if you see, like, he's like eight messages in a row. How am I embarrassed, he asked. You should be embarrassed. You called out West Virginia fans last year, and now you can't back it up. You, sir, are what they call a meow. If West Virginia played Tennessee every year, it would be a guaranteed win every game. You guys are horrible. And then a screenshot that shows West Virginia has 80 less wins as a program than Tennessee, which I don't know what he was going for there. Maybe saying like, hey, we're not that bad. We're top 15. I kind of didn't really understand what he was going with there.
I'm kind of surprised.
As you can see, maybe he was just like, hey, you need to put respect on West Virginia. We're good. We're top 14 all time. Were you about to say you're surprised by that?
Yeah, we only have 80 more wins than West Virginia all time.
838 to 753 whenever he sent this. So, I mean.
How about that?
Add five to us and add maybe one to them. So
they've
probably
been around longer.
So it worked. His screenshot worked on you. Like, hey, you guys aren't that much better than
that. It kind of surprised me. That he sent you all that 2 days before Missouri beat them 38-7.
For being such a historic program, Tennessee isn't that much further ahead. It keeps going. This is over like an hour.
Just 8-10 win seasons.
You guys won four out of your five national championships before 1967. Bleep off. A couple months later. Put some respect on West Virginia name.
That's a good point.
You SEC shill.
That is a good point by him. If he really wanted to take a shot, though, he would mention that consensus-wise, we only have two national championships.
Yeah.
That's what I would argue against Tennessee.
I don't know how he gets five. How do we? We got six. So like either you have to represent. Have to acknowledge all six, or just be like two, like you said.
Right.
Which I don't know where he got five.
If I were arguing with a Tennessee fan, that's what I would say. I would be like, "Yeah, really, you only have two, and one is in the modern era, and it took a Clint Sterner fumble and Florida State having a backup quarterback."
Yeah.
So, you know, if I were to argue with a Tennessee fan, which I would not do, because I mean, clearly, you know,
sure,
but. But if I was him. That's funny. He sent you that on September 5th. 2 days later, Missouri, 38-7.
And now here I am. I'm going to double back 2 months later and just twist the knife a little bit. Now that we're back to 500 and things are looking good and they've lost five in a row.
How are things going?
Yeah. I just said West Virginia's looking great, really solid.
You should just
keep something simple like that.
You should just keep this going for years.
Yeah. It has been going for years. It started last year, and for some reason, he started messaging me. Maybe it was after we lost to like BYU, I guess, or maybe even after Georgia State. I don't know. He just brought it back up, so I'll update you on how this goes in the DMs now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, they are 1-5.
New coach. This was expected.
Oh, that's just in the they're 3-6 overall.
Oh, was it? I don't remember that same energy. When Tennessee lost to West Virginia with a new coach.
They did beat Kansas.
A new coach.
They've lost to Texas, Chris. Iowa State, Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas Tech. There's really no bad losses in there. Texas Tech blew them out. Be really cool if they could have lost to Kansas.
Nigel Warrior with that pick. That was a, you know, a game-saving moment at the time because they were driving to go up maybe, you know, three scores. When you thought it was a pick six, I mean, it was rocking at Elkmont Exchange where we were watching the game. People were really excited. It ended up stepping out of bounds. And, of course, the camera angle just worked perfectly where all the bodies just happened to clear out right when Nigel Warrior stepped out of bounds, which is a little bit of bad luck. But I really love the fourth down stop was Nigel Warrior taking the pitch man perfectly. Making Bowden keep the ball. There was a play earlier in the game on an option where Nigel Warrior blew up a blocker and was able to make the tackle. And if he doesn't make that tackle, it's 20, 30 yards at least. Nigel Warrior balled out. I think he's played really well and deserves to be mentioned when you're talking about redemption.
Butch's boys getting it done out there.
Some of Butch's boys are getting it done. Write the blog. Butch's boys part two.
My column. Colon. They are getting it done out there. That's good. It's good to have some upperclassmen leadership. You know, some guys that have been around the program that can kind of pave the way for Pruitt's young guys. They're clearly getting better. I mean, they're a much better team than they were. I mean, it goes without saying in September, but I think if they can finish this season unbeaten, or you know, finish it, you know, 7-5, finish it 8-5, get a bowl win, we're going to have a lot of momentum going into next season. I think we're all going to be really expecting to compete for the East next year.
If Tennessee can take care of business, and I don't know what this Missouri game will look like in 2 weeks. Like, I, as tired as Tennessee looked in the first quarter, first half, Kentucky coming off of a bye week, like, that had you worried. Tennessee will now have that advantage when they go to Columbia, right?
Yeah, and Missouri will be coming off games against Georgia and Florida.
They'll be tired. Tennessee will be rested. Tennessee will be confident, and I think Missouri's going to lose to Florida, right? Like, don't we expect them to lose to Florida?
Oh, yeah. I would, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be.
They just lost to Vandy and
Kentucky. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Then they got shut out by Georgia. I'm just pointing out, they're going to be on a four-game losing streak most likely, right?
Yeah, Florida is definitely beating them.
With no bowl game to play for, they still have their ban. Like, Missouri is close to where they could just kind of pack it up and take it to the crib.
I'm hoping that Florida takes their will, if they have any will left.
Feels a little bit like 2015 potential with the Missouri-Tennessee game where you go over there and The crowd's not into it. It was like Gary Pinkel's last game. It's cold, and everyone's like, this team's not going anywhere. We're not showing up. Feels like it has some of that potential.
It feels a little bit like they just, that they're already broken.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Florida can go ahead and finish this job, Tennessee might come in with a, distinct advantage. Because I do think right now Missouri's still going to be favored, at least if the spread came out today. Like, the analytics and the stuff point to a 7-point favorite or so.
Really?
Yeah. Just because they're pretty good at home, and I don't know the numbers. I guess probably are still weighing equally, like, early in the year, and not so much just the last couple weeks.
If you look at the direction of the two teams right sure. now, Tennessee, really, there's no reason you would expect Missouri to win.
I don't think Missouri will be 7-point favorites when it comes time for it. I do think they'll be favored. Unless, this Florida game just goes really, really poorly. But I'd say Missouri will open up as a field goal favorite or so, kind of like Kentucky did.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. I could see Florida beating them down, though, 42-0 or something like that. But
so Jeremy Pruitt all of a sudden has a chance to go 5-3 in the SEC. And
that would equal Butch's best season in SEC play.
And that has to mean that it's our best SEC season in
since 2016.
But if you just remove that one, being at least on par, we haven't had a better SEC season than this in how many years?
Well, if you're saying remove,
I'm saying we haven't had, there hasn't been one better.
Right. Yeah.
Since like what? Like
I guess 2007.
Weren't we 5-3 that year, or were we 6-2?
Were we 5-3 in SEC?
Maybe not. Maybe we were 6-2. I don't know.
That year we lost Notre Dame, Florida, okay. Alabama.
And that would be it then. And then LSU, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were 10-4.
Okay. So we were 6-2 in the SEC?
No, we didn't lose to Notre Dame. We lost to Cal.
Okay.
And then we got beaten down by Florida.
Okay.
Remember when Eric Berry had the touchdown return?
Yeah.
But we still lost 59-20.
For some reason, I thought we were 5-3.
And then somehow Florida,
but I guess not.
No, nah, we were 6-2 that year.
Okay,
I'm positive.
Okay. So you haven't had a better potential SEC season since 2007. Now again, we talked about in 2016 you went 5-3.
Yeah, and 15. I guess you did in 15 too, right? Because the losses were to Arkansas, Florida, and Bama. Because the other was Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that'll still equal Butch's two best seasons. Of course, we didn't win our non-conference game, so it doesn't feel quite as good. But
No, 9-3 was right on the 9-3 was right on the table, and that'll be something that will be thought about for a long time if Tennessee's able to. If Tennessee is able to do this, but at the same time, you'll still look and say, okay, big winning streak and redemption of sorts for some key players and this coaching staff.
And it's kind of a testament, too, just to come back from that, because as weak of a moment as that was, everybody's talking about what a good coaching job Jeremy Pruitt has done just to get him back from that. And I think I tend to agree. People are talking about him like SEC Coach of the Year, and I don't think he'll get that. I figure Coach O will get that. But
yeah, Coach O should be the Coach of the Year. I'm sorry, Jeremy Pruitt did a good job, but I'm not going to give Jeremy Pruitt SEC Coach of the Year in the same year he lost to Georgia State and BYU.
Right.
That's not going to happen. I'll say good job, Jeremy Pruitt.
I'm proud of him for digging out of that hole.
Yeah, no, he can go in feeling good, but I'm not giving him SEC Coach of the Year, not with LSU and Ed Orgeron maybe being the number one team in the country at the end of the year and the national champion favorite. That's not something that Jeremy Pruitt should get in a year that he lost to Georgia State and BYU. If he was 9-3, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Coach O, man, he just – that I don't know how you could not want to play for that guy.
No, he's electric.
Those LSU players, I'm sure you saw after the game, them going up to the Bama recruits saying, come play with us. That was pretty cool.
That post-game, did you see this post-game video?
Yeah, in the locker room.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
We're going to whip the ass in recruiting. Rip the ass of a tummy. Line up against us. Roll Tide. Bleep you. Yeah, I didn't know that's what those awesome. Players were doing. So they were going to tell all the recruits to come play there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a time that would be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to LSU.
And then you see Nick Saban running off the field right as that happens.
I think with that, I would be like, you know what? LSU is where I want
to
be.
Yeah. If you're those players, how could you not think that? You're there to see Alabama, and LSU goes in and wins, and their players come to you and say, come play with us.
I don't know what the situation is with their quarterback class or whatever, but like I've always wondered, like, why hasn't Harrison Bailey been like, you know what? I want to go with play with my Marietta boys. Like, let's just go do it at LSU. Like, okay, BJ and Rakeem, or not Rakeem, but is it Arik Gilbert? He's going to LSU, right? Tight end. Like, yeah, I'll go throw passes to you.
Where's
there.
Where's Rakeem going?
Rakeem, I don't think he's a Marietta boy.
Rakeem Jarrett.
Yeah, but he's still committed to LSU, right?
Yeah,
but he's not a Marietta boy, so I didn't mean. But he apparently is friends with Harrison Bailey.
Yeah,
I think I would just be like, hey, I'm gonna go there, but I don't know if LSU's recruiting them or if they have somebody better in the pipeline or what.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's a program that's got a lot of momentum right now.
No, they're looking good, and I don't know if they'll be able to just kind of keep this rolling with this quarterback, you know, renaissance and their offense all of a sudden being explosive. I don't know if this is just a Joe Burrow is that good or if it's something they can replicate moving forward. But
he was good Saturday.
Oh no, he was awesome. When I say replicate, I mean like with the new
in
guy.
The future. Yeah.
Burrow's a real deal. I haven't seen a year-to-year transformation out of a player like this ever. Like, in the positive way, I've seen some really good guys become bad, but I haven't seen somebody that I thought was just perfectly average last year.
Yeah, he's locked up the Heisman. I didn't think coming out of that game that we could have a guy that would lock up the Heisman, but I think he's got it. I mean, he's just got to have decent numbers the rest of the way. You know, don't get hurt. Don't have a game where you just completely are awful and lose to Arkansas or something, you know. I think they play Arkansas next, and then they've got, I guess they still got to play, is it Ole Miss? I mean, so he should have the Heisman locked up. Which I didn't think I would say coming out of this game, that he would have it locked up, but I think he does.
Good for Tennessee. Feels good to win. 5-5. Same position as last year. Got to finish it off. Got to win at least one more. Losing to Vanderbilt should be a fireable offense if you lose to Vanderbilt this year. I don't care about this goodwill. Get rid of Jeremy Pruitt if he loses and doesn't make a bowl game. I think they will. I think they're going to go 7-5. It's a good time here in Tennessee. We'll see if the recruiting can pick up after a couple more wins. Like, I hope it does. But either way, I'm still going to enjoy this game. And, you know, he's taken some kind of unnamed guys on the defensive line. And those guys made some plays at the end of that game that won Tennessee the game with the goal line stand. You saw my guy. You see the JYD in? The Junkyard Dog in there?
What a guy.
What a guy. Tennessee gets a win. We'll shift gears. We'll talk some NFL next. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio.
Disability.
Couple of things to clean up. Weston from the Blitz texts in Cody. We were saying that you were saying that we went 5-3 in 2016 in the SEC. That's not true. We went 4-4. 2015 we went 5-3, but not 2016.
I was right about 2015.
Right, but was wrong about 2016.
All right. Well,
I mean, he didn't say it that way. He was just trying to be nice about it. He just said,
"Oh, he wasn't saying it like." Cody's so
No. He was just like
I'm Weston and Cody is such an idiot.
No, Weston wasn't doing that. He just said 4-4 in 2016. Oh, that's
okay.
All he said.
Okay. Well, thanks for the correction, Weston. I guess.
I mean, he's just doing a little house cleaning, it's okay.
Thanks a lot for putting me on blast. We lost to South Carolina, Vandy.
Alabama and A&M.
A&M.
Yeah.
All those teams are in the SEC.
Even if we don't want them to be.
Which would mean that Weston's correct.
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
It's okay. I was just correcting it for the audience. That way they didn't think we're stupid and spreading false news. I didn't want anyone to go around saying.
They would have forgiven us.
I didn't want anyone going around saying Tennessee went 5-3 back-to-back years with Butch Jones in the SEC because I just
can I not just get credit for remembering the schedule perfectly from 2007?
You win some, you lose some.
I feel like that is more of an achievement. I feel like that should kind of
I don't know what to do with you.
Counter.
You're remembering that, and then you just mess up 2016. But it's like you're.
But if you had asked,
you're spotting a dime across the room and then eating an onion because you can't see. I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Thought you were going to go somewhere else with that. But if you had asked me who we lost to in 2016, you know I would have given you the right answers.
That's why it was frustrating that you said we were 5-3 in the SEC.
Well, I'm sorry, Weston. I'm sorry that your listening pleasure was
derailed. Weston wasn't complaining. He was just helping.
Because of me.
He was just trying to help the show.
I'm sorry. I screwed up, okay? That's on me. I screwed up. I'm hurting the team with these mistakes, and I've got to get better. I know I've got to get better. I'm sorry. It's on me. It's on me. I might be on cocaine. I'm definitely on steroids. I'm sorry.
Is that your Taylor LeJuan impression?
Yeah, that was my Taylor LeJuan.
You nailed it.
I think he's on coke. I mean, I don't want to just be reckless, but did you see the way he was, I mean, just moving his head? Just, yeah, you know, he was talking very fast. His eyes were big. I'm just saying.
I won't say that. I'll just say that, like, I would imagine that the adrenaline's going high after a football game. It'd probably produce similar results as, like, cocaine would. Be, you know, gassed up from hitting somebody for a long time. Wouldn't that, like, give you a lot of adrenaline? No, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's the same.
So you think he did, like, cocaine before the game and it was still going on 3 hours later?
I was
thinking
maybe he did a couple of key bumps before the interview before the presser. With the press, which is understandable. You know, you got to deal with those people there and talk to them. I mean,
especially if you're him and you're having to own up for just mess up after mess up after mess up.
Yeah, well, I get it. It's just, I don't know. He seemed pretty wired to me.
Glenn asks, would you rather have lost the first two like we did this year or lose the last two of the year to SEC opponents? Like if I tell you 7-5. Would you rather be 5-3 in the SEC at 7-5? With beating Missouri and Vanderbilt and then, you know, being on the win streak or have won the two, quote, gimme games or at least the one gimme game and the BYU game and then lose to Missouri and Vandy?
That's a good question. But honestly, I never would have thought I'd say this, but honestly, the way that we've been against Vanderbilt lately, I think I'd take it this way.
Yeah, and I definitely, like, to me, the what could have been is way easier to be like, hey, you got off the season to a bad start. Like, whatever the hell was going on with Garantano then and whatever was going on with his offense and the defense wasn't good either. And Jeremy Pruitt was comatose on the sidelines. I would rather look at that and say, hey, we started from the bottom. Now we're here versus we were 7-3 with a chance to go 9-3 and make a big-time bowl game and lose the last two.
Yeah, I think that would hurt worse.
So to answer Clint's question, if I have to have 7-5, I'd rather have 7-5 this way.
That's a good question. And don't get me wrong, Georgia State's the worst loss in program history, but you've got to get to where you're consistently beating Vanderbilt. And that's the first. And we've talked about winning the SEC swing games and showing teams like Kentucky, Vandy, South Carolina, Missouri that they are inferior to you. To me, that's more important. That helps you climb back to eventually competing again with Florida and Georgia. So I think you definitely take the latter option there. I would agree with you.
I mean, obviously, I wish we were just 9-3, but
of course, yeah.
With the way it shook out,
hell, even 8-4. I mean, that BYU game is kind of fluky. I mean, just if we just shown up week one, you know.
Well, I was going to say the. BYU game was much more winnable than the Georgia State game, I think. Just make a tackle. You had them backed up at their 10-yard line, needing to go all the way down the field, and they hadn't moved the ball all game, and you get burnt deep. Like, just make a tackle. Make a normal play. And like I said, Nigel Warrior got off to a bad start this year, but he's rallied and become really good.
The BYU game was more winnable in the moment, like watching the games.
Yeah, I mean, just the way the game
played. I feel
like
if you just show up prepared – to start the season, like that Georgia State game is such a weird just aberration, you know. It just you just show up and play that game. I mean, just win that one. I could afford the BYU loss.
So but answer,
it is what it is.
Answer Clinton's question. We appreciate him sending it in. Appreciate him listening. Yeah, I'll take it this way. 7-5 with 5-3 in the SEC because, yeah, it's going to be embarrassing. Always having to kind of remember this Georgia State game and it being on the list of biggest upsets and all that stuff. BYU, whatever, I assume we'll get our revenge in 2024. Whenever we go there, we can get our win back.
Out in Provo?
Yeah, we'll get our win back and that'll be fine. But
it's a long way from now.
5-3 in the SEC and reminding South Carolina that they're beneath you. Beating a West opponent like Mississippi State. Reminding Kentucky, hey, you're Kentucky. Doing the same to Missouri. Spanking Vanderbilt. That would be more beneficial to the program long term.
It would. And you look at the way last season ended. You were in the exact same spot you are right now, and for whatever reason, Jeremy Pruitt lost the locker room, and you lost to Missouri and Vandy to end the year. So you got to get those games back. It's way more important this year.
Good conversation. Good question. It's weird not having a press conference today. It's the bye week, so we don't have anything from Jeremy Pruitt today. Anything else to say about Tennessee? I'll give you the commercial break to think about it. Might as well just wrap up this hour with Tennessee talk, and then we'll move to the NFL in hour two. Let's talk sports live from the truly Hard Seltzer Studios.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
All right, week 10, not all the way in the books because tonight we have a really good Monday Night Football game. This is probably the most I've looked forward to a Monday Night Football game since last year's Chiefs-Rams game. I'm pumped for tonight. We'll learn more about Seattle and San Francisco. Yesterday wasn't a good day for some of these teams that want to be Super Bowl contenders. The Saints, really bad game. The Chiefs, not a good game. Like, look, I'm a Titans fan, but the Chiefs losing that game maybe wouldn't be embarrassing most of the time. But the way they lost on the road to the Titans, the way they just kind of kept shooting themselves in the foot, made it an extra bad loss. You know, they had the ball, the chance to put it away in the last minute and a half. They don't get a first down. They then have an intentional grounding on a field goal because they bobbled the snap, and then they let Ryan Tannehill and the Titans go right down the field in a minute, get the ball back down three, get in field goal range, and then get a field goal blocked. It was shooting themselves in the foot over and over for the Kansas City Chiefs. So two teams that we think are Super Bowl contenders, the Chiefs and the Saints, with pretty disappointing losses in Week 10. That's probably my biggest takeaway, Cody.
Yeah. And the Patriots lost last week. It seems like it's pretty open this year. I mean, you still give the Patriots, obviously, the benefit of the doubt, and San Francisco still hasn't lost yet, so they're still looking really good. But
yeah, if you throw that Patriots game in there too, for sure, like that's, you know, the Saints, Chiefs, and Patriots are three of the four favorites probably. I mean,
other than
throw
the
49ers in there, and like, I mean, those are probably three of the four best teams that you think of, and three of these guys are now coming off of a loss.
I think earlier in the year, especially before Mahomes got hurt, I remember saying, you know, the Patriots and the Chiefs are clearly the teams that are going to come out of the AFC. And I still think the Patriots probably will, but Baltimore's looked good, including winning their game over New England. Lamar Jackson looks like an MVP. So I think it's going to be a little bit more of a shakeup this year. Maybe not only in the NFC, but also in the AFC, the more data we get in on these teams.
Cam, have you seen something yesterday that changes your mind over the last couple of weeks that it's still Patriots, Chiefs in the AFC? I know people feel good about the Ravens. They go and they beat up Cincinnati. They go on the road and run wild all over them. Lamar Jackson with another huge game, but it is the Bengals.
That spin move.
Oh, that spin move in the open field was nasty. Lamar Jackson was nasty yesterday. Do you buy that as a multiple team race in the AFC, or is it still kind of Patriots Chiefs for you? Because I still think it's going to be Patriots Chiefs when it comes down to the end of it.
I do still think it's Patriots Chiefs, but I think the Ravens are right there, and I think they will be there like towards the end of the season, just based off, you know, schedule wise and everything like that.
Another big pickup for them with Marcus Peters. He's got two pick sixes in his. You know, I think he's only played three games, so I think he has really paid dividends for the Ravens and kind of helped their defense a lot.
Yeah, he's looked really good for them, you know, solidifying that corner spot for him. But, yeah, I'm not taking that Cincinnati game. I'm throwing that one out the window. It's Cincinnati.
They're so bad.
You know, yeah, first time starting quarterback, too. Like, yeah, I wasn't taking that game serious at all.
Who are they playing at quarterback now?
Finley?
Ron Finley, yeah. A rookie from NC State. Okay, yeah, he's not good.
Yeah.
So. The Bengals are all in for the number one pick. And then I'll see, like, what the Bengals do with the number one pick. That'll be a subplot this season because, like, what do they do? I assume they need to draft a quarterback, right? Like, Andy Dalton's not the future, but they also just need help all over. Do they maybe trade back from number one? Do they just take Chase Young, who Ohio State guy in Cincinnati, that could help, you know, kind of galvanize that fan base a little bit? It'll be interesting to see what they do because, yeah, it looks like they are the worst team in the NFL. The Dolphins have won twice. Every team that was 1-7 won yesterday. Like, the Falcons won. The Jets won. The Dolphins got the two wins. So the Bengals now have a commanding two-game lead in the race for the number one pick. So you buy the Ravens, but not quite on the level as the Chiefs. I mean, like, the Chiefs are on a little bit of a skid.
Yeah, I think I'm buying the Ravens. Worries me. Yeah. I think I'm buying them right now, right there with the Chiefs. I mean, that could change, but just looking at what I've seen the last few weeks, the Ravens might be – I mean, right now they look like the best team in the AFC. I'm not ready to say they can't win in Foxborough, I don't think. But
I don't know. I feel like the run game travels. We've said that before. I feel like with the way Lamar Jackson plays, if they go up there and can run the ball, they'll have a chance. I just don't know, like you said, if they'll be able to. I give Belichick the benefit of the doubt not to get beat by the same game plan twice.
And I would like to give Andy Reid – benefit of the doubt too, but he's not really a playoff coach. I mean, he's not great in the postseason.
Nah, he's beaten Baltimore the last two times they've played. Although it looks like right now, you know, it looks like right now for sure at least that the Chiefs will not be at home in the playoffs in the second or third round. Like it, or at least in the second round, they're not going to be the one or the two seed. It looks like they are going to be locked in as a three seed at best. I don't know if they'll be able to catch Baltimore. They're two losses behind. They're three losses behind the Patriots. They still have to play the Patriots in Foxborough. The Chiefs may be more focused on, you know, outlasting the Raiders than they are of trying to get a first-round bye.
I just know that if it comes to – I mean, the two most important parts of the game, maybe the three most important parts of the game, defense, quarterback, coach. I think if I look at Baltimore and I look at Kansas City, right now I'm taking Lamar Jackson over Mahomes. I think I'd take Harbaugh over Andy Reid in the playoffs. Harbaugh's been there before, right? He's been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Beat his brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
should have made another Super Bowl. I think it was the year before when Lee Evans dropped a pass in Foxborough that Flacco put right in his hands. They should have beaten New England. I guess that would be like, what, 2012 or 13? Whenever the Giants won their Super Bowl, so 2011-12.
And then defensively, I mean, I think I take Baltimore's defense. They're playing Cincinnati yesterday, but I know they put up like 26 fantasy points, and I don't know. Is it silly to say that that's a place that just has a defensive mentality?
And the defense has gotten better after they got Marcus Peters. Their secondary is a little weak, but they traded for Peters, and he's helped a lot.
I think I like Baltimore better than Kansas City right now when it comes playoff time.
Okay. I'm not saying I disagree, like, vehemently. I'll still take Mahomes and the Chiefs, but they have to figure out their run game, man.
They've lost four of their last six.
They have, but, I mean, Mahomes has been banged up for three of those losses.
He has.
He was not banged up yesterday. He looks good yesterday. He wasn't the reason they lost. It was the defense giving up big plays. Like, the defense got killed on the ground. They let Derrick Henry run for a 188 on 23 carries. They let Ryan Tannehill scramble for 37 yards. Like, they got beat on the ground. And, you know, in special teams, their special teams wasn't good.
They're just getting owned by the AFC South.
The Chiefs, I mean, AFC South's a great division. Everyone knows that.
The only team they haven't lost to is the Jags.
The Titans have a real problem, the Chiefs have a big problem with fumbling. You know, they gave up a fumble that led to a scoop six that the Titans returned for a touchdown to take the lead in the second quarter. It was the Chiefs' 17th fumble this season. That is the third highest mark in the NFL. And that they only fumbled 18 times all of last year, so they are on a high clip of fumbling right now, and that's kind of killing them. And they can't, like I said, find a running back. They can't find a running game. It was a little bit better yesterday, at least with Damian Williams. He had 19 carries for 77 yards, but when they came time to put the game away, they couldn't do it. Special teams was awful yesterday. They muff a snap that leads to an intentional grounding that kept the game from going to 5-8. And then, at the very last play, the Titans' outside rusher times it perfectly and gets it and blocks the field goal. Bad special teams play. And the Chiefs don't have a good enough defense to overcome bad special teams play. You have to have at least two good units to win in the playoffs. I mean, one can be an elite like the offense, I think, is. And yesterday you kind of saw when Mahomes gets back and he actually starts putting the ball into Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that offense looks really explosive again. And then Mecole Hardman's good for one busted play. And, man, watching that live, he was running right into my end zone when he caught that pass and just outran all the Titans defenders. I'm like, oh, man.
Mecole Hardman?
Yeah, He's really fast. Like him and Tyreek Hill, really fast.
Who's faster?
Tyreek Hill. At least like on their top speeds of the year. I saw that Mecole Hardman hit like 21.8 on that run, and Tyreek's hit over 22 earlier this year. So I'm assuming Tyreek Hill's faster. I'll take him in a race, but they're both really, really fast.
They're both like stupid fast. I mean, ridiculously fast.
So the Patriots kind of win by not even playing yesterday. Like, you know, their division rival, the Bills, lose again. A stupid game to the Browns, which – you know, we gave you that that stat about when losing teams at 2-6 at 75% or worse are favored over teams that have won 75% of their games. The losing team that was favored was 6-0. They're now 7-0.
Was that on the board? I know I took the Browns to win that game. Was it not on those?
I didn't take the Bills, so I don't know who you
must not have been on the board.
Yeah, because when I gave that stat, I was like, yeah, I guess I'll take the Browns.
I do recall picking the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, that was a stupid game, too. I mean, that was just – they barely gutted that out, and that's more about the Bills. It does feel like the Bills' playoff spot's now open. At 6-2, they needed that win. At 7-2, it would have been tough to blow it, but now it does seem like the 5 and the 6 seed are open, and now all of a sudden you look, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were kind of left for dead after starting the season 0-3, now sitting there at 5-4.
They're right in the thick of it, and so is the AFC South.
With an elite defense. Like, the Steelers traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's just made play after play for them.
That Bills loss was good for you Titans fans.
Yep.
And don't forget about the Jets. Sam Darnold said yesterday, you know, the Jets they're not out of it yet either.
Well, they're not. I don't think they're going to get there, but they are not out of it.
They can still get to the playoffs.
You beat the Giants, bro. Chill out.
Yeah. He seemed to feel good about it after the game.
You beat the Giants. Relax. That doesn't mean you're going to make the playoffs. The wild card spot does seem like there's two wild card spots now up for grabs, and you know that was a good day for the Titans. You know, winning obviously, and then having both the Colts and Bills lose. I don't think the Titans are going to be able to make the playoffs. I just think the schedule is too tough down the stretch. Still got to play the Texans twice, the Saints once, although. The Saints are one of those teams that's going to be coming to Nashville that I feel like the Titans get up for and will beat outdoors in December. I'll take my chances against Drew Brees. He was another one of my takeaways yesterday. We'll talk about the NFC next. Wasn't a good day for the Saints. Wasn't a good day for Drew Brees. Let's talk sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. We talked a lot about the AFC last segment, but the NFC, I don't know what to make at the top of it. Like, I think the two best teams in the NFC might be playing tonight. But then sometimes I go back and forth on how I feel about the Seahawks. I am pretty confident that the NFC's best team is playing tonight. I'm a believer in the 49ers, but a team that a lot of people believed in and a team that a lot of people keep saying is a class of the NFC, the New Orleans Saints, kind of got their ass kicked yesterday by the Falcons.
By the Atlanta Falcons.
Step to the mic, Cam. Go ahead. Step to the mic.
There's a reason we call them the Aints. We're not really super concerned with them. I told y'all coming out the bye, the division games, Falcons were going to be about it.
You said it. You said they were going to win, and you said what, 31-27?
31-27.
So the Falcons
so
almost
vastly overestimated New Orleans' offensive capabilities.
You forgot that Dan Quinn's a defensive coach.
Yeah, I guess I did. Because Falcons had 7 sacks on the season, and then we racked up 6 yesterday. So,
I didn't get to see any of this game. I didn't get to see any of this game because I was traveling and at the game yesterday. So, like, I didn't see any of it. Were the sacks just, like, flukes, or were the sacks, like, covered sacks? Or like, what the hell was happening here?
Okay. A lot of the time, because Breeze would have time sometimes, and he just would be back there shuffling the pocket. You know, probably a situation where Teddy Bridgewater would have took off and got a few yards, but Breeze just sat back there and would get sacked.
Well, there is something to that, and I don't know if it is, you know, maybe, like, they should go back to Teddy. Like, I'm not going to say that. I did say at the time, like, I don't know if I like them going back to Breeze, and I don't think it's going to help their team. But when you do get old as a quarterback, the first thing that goes away is, like, how you handle pressure, I think. Like, once you have, pressure coming at you, mm-hmm. I feel like that's like kind of the first thing that goes. You're not as confident in your ability to move around the pocket or get out and run for some yards. And, you know, it's a small sample size because Breeze has been hurt. So, I mean, he's only played, what, 2.5 games? 3.5 games at this point, I guess. First game, last 2 games, and then half of the Rams game. So, you know, 3.5 games. But Drew Breeze, when facing pressure this year, 10 of 22, 71 yards, an interception, 7 sacks, a 34.5 passer rating.
The Falcons were getting there with 4, too.
Yeah.
Crazy things. They got there with 3 one time, if I remember correctly.
What's the deal with the Saints' offense? Because, I mean, like, Michael Thomas is the only receiver you're worried about. Like, Ted Ginn's whatever. But none of the other receivers are beating you down the field. The tight end's not beating you. Alvin Kamara hasn't been nearly as good this year as people thought he was going to be.
They hardly used him. He had 4 carries, I think, in the game and a few catches. But, like, they didn't use him that much.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were really doing on offense, but it was a really cool stat or interesting stat I saw yesterday. They are the only team in the NFL without a touchdown on the opening drive.
The Saints are?
Yeah, and that continued yesterday. They got down to like the 5 on the opening drive, and the Falcons held them, and they ended up kicking a field goal. But, yeah, I thought that was a really interesting stat when you think about the Saints. You usually think they're a good offensive team. So that's a pretty odd thing to me that they can't seem to punch it in the end zone early in games. Like, I think they are one of the lowest scoring first quarter teams in the NFL, actually.
It didn't seem like the Falcons like necessarily beat up that defense. Like, I look at Matt Ryan's numbers, and Matt Ryan's numbers didn't look good, but
it was their Falcons' best running game of the season, for sure. Even Devontae Freeman went out, and backup, like, third string came in because Ito Smith's on IR. Third string came in and got 20 carries for about 60 yards or so.
So they're kind of able to grind it out there.
And, like, time of possession, Falcons killed them in time of possession. And that was part of the reason, too. They were just going on these long drives. Like, they had one 17-play drive.
Okay.
And also penalties killed the Saints. They were one of the least penalized teams in the NFL, and they racked them up yesterday. They had, like, 4 hands-to-the-face calls. Like, I had never seen that many. It was absurd.
Might be time to go back to Teddy. I don't know.
I think so.
Might be time to go back to
40.
Yeah, that was one of my big takes all offseason. Was like, I'm worried about Drew Brees this year. And again, it's a small sample size, and maybe this is just a fluke and he'll bounce back. But I wasn't impressed with him in the Texans game, even though they won that game. And Cardinals, whatever, I didn't watch much of it. But, you know,
he was good last week in his return.
Yeah, like I said, it's Cardinals. I didn't watch much of it. Yeah. I don't know, but
you just don't see that though. That often at home. I mean, that's the thing Breeze has always been known for. At least at home in the dome, he's always gonna put up big numbers. And they got handled. They got worked in the fourth quarter. You know, their offense was stagnant. They only had 9 points through 3 quarters, and then Atlanta capped it off in the fourth. good win for the Falcons.
Another contender in the NFC, the Packers.
The rival, you
know? wasn't necessarily pretty for the Packers, but they're able to win 24-16 in the snow over the Panthers.
That was an enjoyable game to watch.
They stopped Christian McCaffrey at the goal line and get out of there with a win. They're 8-2. They're at the top of their division only by a game, though, because Minnesota was able to beat Dallas. Minnesota, probably that win's going to go a long way to getting them that second wild, or at least one of the two wild card spots if they can't win the division from the Packers.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is my favorite team right now in the NFC.
Okay. When you say your favorite team, you mean to?
Not my favorite team that I like.
I just mean your favorite to win the division, or to win the conference?
I like the Vikings right now. I know Kirk Cousins, I know.
No, I mean, Kirk Cousins played good enough last night. Like, I don't think he played as good as his final numbers looked, but, you know, the touchdowns were all, like, short touchdowns. But I thought he did enough, and I think Dalvin Cook and Madison, that's a pretty nasty 1-2 punch, and Dalvin Cook might be the best or second best running back behind Christian McCaffrey. Like, to me, this year, I look at Dalvin Cook, I look at Christian McCaffrey, those are the two best running backs in the league,
mm-hmm.
by far. I don't think it's close anymore.
Aaron Jones.
I mean, Aaron Jones, when the Packers use Aaron Jones, he looks like he could be in that conversation.
He's got the most touchdowns now.
Right, but then in some games, they'll be like, hey, we're going to give the ball to Jamal Williams every time, and we're going to forget about Aaron Jones. So,
which is weird.
I'm not going to put him in that conversation, but I feel like Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey are the two best running backs in the league this year.
Yeah, I think Aaron Jones may be the most underrated. But Dalvin Cook, I mean, that was
– Derrick Henry's the most underrated.
It's really good. I mean, when they use him, kind of like Aaron Jones, you know?
Yeah.
When they decide they want to unleash him.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, Aaron Jones didn't have a lot of yards yesterday, but Carolina's not good against the run. And they gave Aaron Jones the ball when they needed to and let him score. And the Titans didn't do that the week before against the Panthers, and I think it cost them the win. They should have fed Derrick Henry against the Panthers like the Titans fed Derrick Henry yesterday against the Chiefs, and they probably would have won. But they did not. Who's number three right now in running backs? Like, because, I mean, Cam, you agree when I say that McCaffrey and Cook are 1-2 this year?
Oh,
it feels like.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been dominant.
Jacobs has been really good, but I don't know if he's quite on that level. They don't use him in the pass game enough for him to be on that level.
No, I'm just trying to think around the league. Like, you mean from just fantasy output?
I don't even mean fantasy. I just mean playing the position of running back. Like, maybe I don't want to overreact to one game, but it didn't feel like Ezekiel Elliott's on level with either one of those guys. Like, I know Zeke's good. But also acknowledge that a lot of Zeke's success in the past has been behind, you know, that elite offensive line. But Zeke cost them the game last night, or at least the running attack cost them the game last night.
It's definitely McCaffrey and Dalvin right now. I'd go Aaron Jones at three.
Do you think? I think Chubb's up there in rushing yards. I think he's just kind of, you know, been on that bad Browns team, so people kind of forgot about him.
I don't think of him in that same breath. Maybe fantasy wise, yeah, but like I don't think of him in just overall running back play as good as them.
I like guys that score touchdowns. Right now, sure. Aaron Jones is scoring the most.
He's scoring a lot of touchdowns. That's a valuable asset. The Packers would have beat the Eagles had they given the ball to Aaron Jones on the goal line. They had two possessions where they kept trying to throw it and ended up with no points.
Yeah. But that was only they've only got two losses on the year. They had their bounce back yesterday. You know, Aaron Rodgers was talking all about how they had too much fun in L.A. But I think they took that loss really well to the Chargers. The way Rodgers looked at it, he said, we kind of needed it.
In the NFL, whenever you're able to bounce back from a loss, it's okay. Like, you just don't want one loss to turn into two losses. So, you play 16 games. No one goes undefeated. Even the best teams end up 13-3, 12-4. So, you can afford that loss in L.A. to the Chargers if you then turn around and then use it and win and refocus. And at least yesterday, that's what it looked like the Packers did.
That was a good game to watch. That was the 4 o'clock game of the week and the snow, man. It's always something about snow and Lambeau. Those NFC North games. I love those games. I mean, obviously, the Chargers were.
Feels like we can now officially cross the Detroit Lions off with Matt Stafford's back being out, them losing. I just add them officially to the done list. So now they join the Redskins, Giants. Sorry, Cam, the Falcons.
Oh, we go 9-7.
Although you do have all division games left, pretty much you can win out and maybe get to 9-7. We'll see. I'm not gonna overreact to one game, but for now I'm still gonna have them on my done list. The Bucks, the Cardinals, the Lions. The Bears get to avoid it for one more week. They are able to beat the Detroit Lions. The Bears are back to 4-5, and Trubisky at least threw a couple touchdowns. He threw three against a really bad Lions secondary. They avoid being added to the done list, but they're still a game behind a jumble of 5-4 teams. Panthers, I'm not giving up on yet. Eagles, they can still win that division. Cowboys can still win that division.
Yeah.
I am worried about the Rams, though. They are close. The Rams are very close to getting added to the you're not making the playoff list.
They really needed that win in Pittsburgh.
They played awful.
They did not get it.
Like, I don't know if I'm more worried about Sean McVay because it seems like Bill Belichick put, you know, you TJ LSU Dad, which is still such a stupid name to brand yourself as an internet brand. TJ LSU Dad.
Whoever he is, yeah.
He says Tennessee gave the blueprint of beating Alabama. That may or may not be true. It is 100% true that Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl gave the blueprint on how to stop the Rams. Bring up six guys in the box at all times, spread them out, don't let that running game get going side to side. Then all of a sudden that play action pass from Goff doesn't work as well, and you can stop them. The Rams and Sean McVay and Jared Goff, they look broken. They look done.
Yeah, they don't look good. They don't look good at all.
You worried about them?
Yeah, I'm pretty worried. I'm worried that the offense is just stagnant. You got two of the best players in football on your defense right now, but the offense is just stagnant, and it's concerning. But they're still right there. I mean, they're 5-4.
They're out of the division. It feels like they're out of the division race.
Yeah, they're done in the division. They're done in the division. But you talk about that jumble
at 5-4
teams, though. At 5-4, you've got a lot of 5-4 and 4-5 teams.
Well, you only got
within
one,
a game or two of each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, you only got one 4-5 team. That is the Bears, but then you have the Panthers, Eagles, Rams, Cowboys at 5-4. One of the Cowboys or Eagles will win the division. The problem is, Cody, that both wildcard teams right now are 7-2 and 7-3 with the Seahawks and Vikings, and I think both of those teams are legit. So
I think both of those teams are better than the Rams, but still, to just have four losses, you're still very much in the mix.
Sure. I do look, though, and I don't want to call it a loser leaves town match just yet, but this upcoming game, Rams-Bears, Sunday Night Football.
Big game.
Feels like the loser of the battle of Cody's favorite teams. Whoever loses this might be getting the done chain.
I am torn. Torn over this game.
On whether or not to care about it? Like
on who?
It sounds like you're already ready to make the switch to the Vikings. It seems like you are ready to drink from the skulls of your defeated opponents and chant skull and drink blood and do all this. It doesn't seem like you're very torn.
No, I'm just I'm trying to figure out who has a chance of who to root for.
Okay.
I do like both teams. Where is that game being played? In Chicago?
It is not. It's being played in L.A.
In L.A., oh.
Sunday Night Football. Bears lose.
Yeah, Rams will win that game.
If the Rams lose it, they're done. They'll be 5-5 with games against the Ravens, at Cardinals, Seahawks, at Cowboys, at 49ers. So if they lose this game, it's a wrap for the Rams this year.
I'm taking the Rams 10-6. 10-6 in that game. Rams by 4.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
Twitter writes in, Cody thinking about, or, let me try that again. Cut the mic off, Cam. Let's try this one more time. Twitter writes in, Cody thinking that Trevor Lawrence isn't a good quarterback is starting to discredit any take he has.
What now?
The people are saying that you...
The people are one guy on Twitter.
Is saying that your bullish nature on Trevor Lawrence is starting to discredit any take you have.
Excuse me. Did I ever say he's not good?
Yes.
Did I say he's not good?
Yes, you say he throws a lot of interceptions and is not good.
11-7 during hour two. Cody, Trevor Lawrence sucks.
I feel like what I meant by that is he's not that great. He's not that great.
Did I ever say he wasn't good? No, you said he sucks.
When did you?
11-7 hour two.
I wrote down the quote.
You said put it on record.
I know you put it on
record. I think you went out of your
paper.
Way to say put it on record. And I said, Cam, make a note of that.
I put it on the Cam put it on the paper. Cam was
did
taking notes.
Did I ever
notes.
Say that? Yes, 11-7 hour two.
Cam was taking notes.
And I quote, Trevor Lawrence sucks.
Cam was taking notes. That doesn't necessarily mean it's an actual quote that I said.
I put quotation marks, so
it's
it
probably
maybe.
Yeah.
We can check the podcast.
It's probably the gist of what I said. I don't know if I actually said he sucks or not. I don't think he's as good as all you sheep thought he was. That's my whole point. I'm not saying he's not he's a top 10 quarterback in college football, probably top 15. But he's not. You people acted like he's the next Peyton Manning. And I don't mean you and Cam necessarily. I mean people listening to this that did. Acted like he's the next Peyton Manning when he beat Alabama. They jumped all over him. That's all I'm saying. He's not that good. He's not as good as Burrow. He's not as good as Tua. I don't think he's anywhere close. Is that?
It's good a little
enough.
Bit different than
is that
what
a good enough
I mean.
Take?
It's a little bit different than what you said. So sure, if you want to say he's not on their level, okay. I'm not saying I even necessarily agree. I think there's been a little bit of being bored for Clemson. You've seen them ramp it up a little bit. You know, we did point that out last week. Like I do
being
think Trevor
bored.
Lawrence is. I mean, they're just every game they go into, they're like 30 point favorites.
They're bored.
You don't think they're bored? You don't think they're possibly bored from being 30-point favorites every game?
If that's a problem, maybe Dabo needs to figure out how to get his team up to play.
I mean, they're still winning. They're still winning every game by 30 points except North Carolina game. That's the only close game they've had is the North Carolina game. Like That's it.
So Trevor Lawrence is throwing picks because he's bored?
I think there's some of that, but
I don't think so.
He has gone three straight games without any, and last week against North Carolina State on Saturday, 20 of 27, 276, three touchdowns, a rushing touchdown on top of it. He's started taking care of the ball better.
Tua and Burrow throw for they're two of the top three in the country in passing yards per game, only behind the Washington State quarterback.
I understand that.
That you got. The Washington State quarterback who does nothing but throw, he's number one. And then it's Burrow and it's Tua, averaging 355 and 323. You got to go way down there to find what Trevor Lawrence averages.
I mean, that's fine if you want to look at just statistics, but you of all people,
230
biggest
passing
Tom
yards
Brady
game.
Fan I know has to acknowledge, like, it matters more at certain times of the year, man. Like, Brady doesn't put up the regular season numbers. You're going to take Brady in the NFL playoffs. I already know you are.
Trevor Lawrence
is college football's Tom Brady.
That's why I think it's ridiculous.
Trevor Lawrence
he beat Alabama one time.
That's it. He did. He's
right.
He is 1-0.
Congrats to him. He beat Alabama one time.
He has never lost.
Have we forgot about the loaded defensive line that helped win that game?
You don't say that about Tom
loaded,
Brady?
The loaded wide receivers?
You don't say that about Tom Brady. You
Some
just say Brady, Brady, Brady.
Some idiot
Brady
told me this weekend that if Trevor Lawrence was at LSU, he'd be doing exactly what Joe Burrow is, as if LSU's receivers are better than Clemson's.
Maybe the coaching's better. Maybe he'd be up.
I don't know. I mean,
there's less margin for error.
I don't know. That's another. Everybody had Dabo as he's a better coach than Saban last year after he beat him.
I mean, one person.
Maybe
is,
the coach
is,
maybe Coach O suddenly is better than Dabo.
One person is still. When I mean coaching, I mean just the game plan and the way they're playing offense. LSU is trying to make a statement that they have a new offense. LSU and Clemson are identical in the win-loss column. Nick Saban has lost this year, so like
it's fine. LSU's beating four top 10 teams.
I mean, that's fine. Clemson's playing whoever's on their schedule, and like I said, they played one close game against North Carolina. Outside of that, they have dominated everyone else. 55-10, 59-14, 59-7, 45-10, 45-14, 21-20 at North Carolina. That's the only close game. 52-10, 41-6. 24-10 against Texas A&M, and it was 24-3 before A&M scored a last second touchdown. 52-14.
Cool, bro. Yeah, cool. He's not as good as Burrow or Tua.
He's better than Tua.
Nah, he's not. It's not what the numbers say. They've played similar schedules.
The numbers. Do you think Washington State's quarterback's the best in the country?
No, but
because you said both their numbers are. You said both their numbers are trailing Washington State.
Alabama is Tua's putting up better numbers.
Matter. Why do the numbers matter?
What do you want me to? What do you want? If you don't want numbers, what do you want?
Well, I'm asking if you think the Washington State quarterback's better too, because you're talking about numbers.
All they do is pass. He's got 455 attempts versus everybody else who's got 300 something attempts.
How many attempts? I mean,
he's got nearly double the attempts.
How many attempts does Joe Burrow have?
Joe Burrow's got 299 attempts.
How many attempts does Tua have?
234. Would you like to see Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence has 252.
Okay, so pretty much on par. He's thrown for fewer yards, fewer touchdowns, more interceptions.
40 times more.
I'm looking at game averages, not just passing yards. These are game averages. Looking at game averages, I'm looking at touchdowns, I'm looking at interceptions, and Trevor Lawrence ranks nowhere near Tua and Burrow in any of these categories.
I understand that.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not – the stats don't –
you're talk completion percentage?
The stats don't matter.
Burrow's 78%.
Let's talk national –
you're the biggest stat guy in the world.
No, I'm not.
You love stats.
No, I don't. I love stats that matter. These don't matter. Let's talk national championships. How many has Burrow got?
Well, none yet. He just came on the scene.
He played as many years as Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence played one year. Joe Burrow's played 1 year. Okay.
Season hasn't completed
yet. You want to talk statistics? We got one champion over here with a championship ring. We got one who does not have one. If we want to talk statistics, that seems like a pretty big one.
How in the hell could Joe Burrow win a national championship?
He was a starting quarterback last year.
9 games into the season.
He was a quarterback last year.
He's 9 games into the season.
Did he play last year?
Was that LSU team as good as the team that Clemson surrounded Trevor Lawrence with?
I don't know. You were just talking about Edo being better than Dabo and all this stuff.
I didn't say that. I said that's what everybody's suddenly saying.
I don't think anyone's saying Edo's better than Dabo. You're the only person I've heard say that.
Words in my mouth. And I want you to take them out. I want you to reach into my mouth and take out all the words you're trying to shove in.
Open up.
Take them out.
You're talking statistics. Like, those aren't going to tell the story. Like, Clemson's beating the hell out of people. They don't have to throw the ball a bunch of times. They don't have to. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have to be great. He's turning it on now. He's peaking. He's like a racehorse. He hasn't thrown any the last 3 weeks.
He threw a lot at the start of the season.
That's fine. He's thrown three since week
four. When the competition was better.
He's thrown three since week four.
He's not playing an SEC schedule either.
I mean, that's fine. I don't know if Alabama's really playing an SEC schedule either. They played one good team, and they got smacked by them at home.
LSU's played good teams.
LSU has. At least played better.
And Alabama's going to have to play Auburn. They've played better teams than Clemson.
Alabama hasn't played many better teams than Clemson. Not many.
The numbers are all better.
Not the national championship.
Especially for Burrow. If you want to argue Tua, that makes a little more sense, but
I mean, look,
he's nowhere close to Burrow.
Burrow's played great. Until I see Burrow do it in the playoff, I'm going to have some skepticism.
Well, let's give him a chance to get there.
He had one last year. He failed to get there.
Has Trevor Lawrence beaten Alabama on the road?
Nope, beat him at a neutral site, though.
He could only beat him at a neutral site.
It was away from Clemson. They had to get on the road to go there.
And so did Bama. I didn't see him going to Tuscaloosa in SEC primetime and win.
It's almost like home field advantage matter less than ever before, huh?
No.
Crazy.
It's almost like Burrow's a better quarterback.
Crazy how that works, how a team can go into Alabama and win this year. It's almost like home field advantage.
Let's put the NFL careers on the board, Cam. I'll take Burrow. You take Trevor Lawrence. Mr. Confidence.
I mean, we'll take Trevor Lawrence over Burrow, but I mean, like.
Go for it.
That seems like a really long board bet, like. How do we?
Let's check in 5 years.
Okay, I mean, where are we going to check in? Like win loss? How are we going to decide who's better? Just
we'll know who the better
quarterback
NFL
rating.
Quarterback
okay,
we'll know.
Put it on the board, Cam. 5 years from now, Joe Burrow versus Trevor Lawrence.
This is the new Mariota Winston.
They're going to be in different draft classes because Trevor Lawrence is still a sophomore. I mean, I'd hope Joe Burrow would be a little
can't even get drafted this
I'd
year.
Hope Joe Burrow
he's
be a
so
little
so good and they can't even get drafted.
I'd hope Joe Burrow would be a little bit better. He's a grown ass man. Isn't he like 23? Isn't he like a fifth year senior? How long's he been around? I feel like he's been around forever.
I don't know. Well, gotta defend the baby Trevor Lawrence.
I'd hope he'd be better.
He was so good last year though.
Joe Burrow's about to turn 23 in December. I'd hope he'd be better than a true sophomore.
I'm sorry that man. You wanted him to be Peyton Manning and he's not. I mean, I think
he's really, really good.
Okay.
I think he's really, really good, and
I ever said he was bad,
I think you said he sucked.
If I said he sucked, it was an exaggeration. He doesn't suck. All I ever said is he's not one of the top level quarterbacks. He's not one of the. He's not in the tier of Tua and Burrow. Is what
just
I think.
Wrong too. He's not wrong. He's better than Tua.
Okay. Add Tua in on the board, but
please find Tua.
Check in 5 years.
Please find
when the Dolphins are 15-0.
The last 2 years. Tua. Like, let's remove him coming in and mop up duty in the national championship with Tua, which he played great. Since that moment, his sophomore and junior year, has Tua beaten one good team? Or what you consider a great team? Has he?
I mean, you can say the same about Trevor Lawrence.
No,
outside
I can't.
Of the Alabama win.
He smacked Notre Dame in the playoff.
Okay, Alabama beat Oklahoma in the playoff.
Sure. I mean,
same thing.
Okay. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is up 1-0, if that's the way you want to look at it.
Trevor Lawrence's team got the best of Tua's team in the national championship, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about performance. Like, look at Tua scored 16 points, bro. Wasn't it 41-16? Was that another score? What was the score? 51-16? They could have scored 100 on him if they wanted.
Do you think that perhaps Clemson's defensive line that was full of NFL draft picks had a little something to do with it?
Do you think that it was the difference between 41-16 or whatever the score was?
I think a pretty good defensive line can wreak havoc on an opposing quarterback.
Okay. That big of a difference.
Perhaps game plans played in, you know.
So now you're saying Dabo. So now you're saying Dabo's better than Saban.
Coaching in that game, yeah.
Okay.
In that game, he was
trying to keep up because you just said Ed O was better than.
No,
Dabo.
I didn't say that. Ago. I said that's what all these idiots out here are saying.
Mm. Okay.
I did not say that.
Just trying.
That
to
was not my opinion.
Keep up with what you think about Trevor Lawrence, because, and like what matters, because you want to give me numbers, but then we look at numbers head to head and numbers in the big stage, and Trevor Lawrence dominated. Now you want to look at all the surrounding parts and other factors in those numbers, but when you want to give me season-long numbers, you don't take into account game flow or the fact that Clemson coast in every one of their games.
And yet what you're arguing is simply one game that Trevor's team won.
I'm arguing over two seasons of body of work, too. Like, I mean,
they've both beaten up on scrubs.
Right, but when the pressure was on, in the national championship, I mean,
Tua got sacked when the pressure was on because Clemson had a great D-line.
Okay. That just poor Alabama defense with no NFL talent. That defense with no NFL talent.
Maybe Saban's starting to get exposed.
No, that's a different conversation.
Saw what Joe Burrow did to him.
That's a different conversation. Saban 0-2 in his last two big games. Bet he wishes he still had Jalen Hurts because can't win with Tua. Tua can't win the big game.
I don't think that's the problem.
Zero big wins as a starting quarterback.
He's kind of hurt.
Injury prone. That's going to play into effect, too. Guy's always hurt.
And he got hurt by a pretty good defense.
It's true. I mean, it's not his fault. If Trevor Lawrence had to go against Tennessee, maybe this would go different. If Tennessee would have hurt Trevor Lawrence, I might have a different answer. You're right about that.
I mean, he was going up against an orange swarm. I don't know what you expect.
That is true.
Not a lot of guys
Tua,
can withstand that.
You think Tua saw the orange swarm of Tennessee and had flashbacks to Clemson's orange jerseys and was like, oh, my God, they're back?
Maybe.
That might have been it. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Stick with us.
The McKinney team with
All right, it's 2:30. It's Monday. You know what that means? We're a little bit behind because it's 2:35. That's one of the things it means. Also, it means it's time for winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners, losers, winners, losers, winners.
Win.
Sometimes you gotta win.
Win.
Sometimes you gotta win.
Win.
And someone can be the best.
Win.
The best.
Win.
The best of you. Winners and losers.
All right, Cody, hit me with your winners of the weekend. Who won this weekend?
Number three for me, I'm going to go with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Now, how can the Hogs be a winner after losing 45-19 to Western Kentucky, right? Well, they finally pulled the plug on Chad Morris. They did it in year two. Smart move. It was never going to work out. And now they get to do a coaching search. So, just like I called Florida State winners last week after their bad loss, I always like a coaching search. It's good for the fan base, and it adds a little bit of excitement to an awful season. So they get to go get their new guy. Who are they going to get? You know, new guy.
Who are you going to get?
Hot boards warming up.
Who are you going to get?
So put them at three for firing Chad Morris. That guy sucked. Number two, I'm going to go with Minnesota. Minnesota. And I'm not just talking about the Gophers. I'm talking about the state of Minnesota. Because okay. The Vikings pulled off a big win last night on the Cowboys.
That's a pretty good one, Cody.
So you know that the people in Minnesota who are football fans, I'm sure there are several who are both Vikings and Gophers fans, right? They both got to see big wins. Of course, the Gophers with a big-time win over Penn State. And my number one winner, I go with Joe Burrow and LSU. I didn't really know. I guess I'm going just Burrow because I think he locked up the Heisman, as I said earlier. But, I mean, the team in general. You go into Tuscaloosa, you beat Nick Saban, arch rival. You hadn't beaten them in 8 years. That's a huge victory, and the whole country was loving it.
LSU has the most juice across the country, right?
Hell yeah. And Coach O, man, that post-game speech.
Like I said, we might end up regretting it. I don't know if they're looking at Harrison Bailey, but if he was like, hey, I'm going to go play with my Marietta boys. Either way, like, you're going to start losing some battles, recruiting battles to them, because I do think LSU is about to really surge when it comes to recruiting. It does seem like they would be the most fun team to play for and the most fun fan base to play for, the combination right now.
Well, at least they're not in our division.
Right. You know, it would be nice for them to take down Alabama. It would be like maybe we should be rooting for LSU to just unseat Alabama, because obviously we play Alabama every year, and them taking over from them would probably be beneficial.
If we got to sacrifice a couple recruits to allow LSU to take the West and for Bama to start to disintegrate, I think it's worth a trade.
Alabama can't have very much confidence right now. I know you still think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't. I think it'd have to take a lot of losses from other teams for them to get in. I just don't know how you get in if your best win's Auburn and you haven't beaten anybody else.
Because it's Alabama.
I understand, but surely that can't happen again, because they've already gotten in once without winning their division. Surely that won't happen again in a year where it does seem like there's five or six pretty good teams. But I mean, Alabama, like I said, the whole country was watching their last two games against Clemson and LSU, and they got smacked in both of them. I know that was only a 6-point game, but it was a lot worse than the final score.
It felt worse, but it also felt like Bama had a chance to win it.
It did. It did feel like Alabama had a chance to win it, which, by the way, big loss for all you momentum people out there, because I don't know how Alabama –
It swung a lot.
I don't know how Alabama could have had more momentum than scoring two touchdowns to get that game back to six and have the place rocking.
It was a crazy momentum game. It just kept swinging.
And then Joe Burrow said, I don't believe in momentum. I'm going to go right back down the field and score a touchdown. And then Alabama scored again, and then Joe Burrow's like, nope, going to do this again because momentum is fake and I'm just better than you guys.
Now that's why you like Joe Burrow so much. I see it.
I mean, Joe Burrow, it is crazy because, I mean, Joe Burrow, like I said, I've never seen a guy go from average to elite like this in 1 year. It is still wild, though, like we talked about. Appreciate Chris for sending this in. Or I don't think it was Chris. I think it was, let me see who sent this in. Tweeter, Big Orange Boy. I don't know his real name.
That's it. That's his name.
The Big Orange Boy. Joe Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson, which is kind of funny to think about.
Joe Burrow's 22.
He turns 23 in December.
Is Lamar?
Lamar's young.
He's 22, though.
I don't know if he is, because Lamar Jackson's – I saw where Lamar Jackson's a lot younger than – or younger than, half of these, top 50 prospects this year.
How would he – why is he that young?
He's 22? Okay.
He just –
He turned 22 – I guess he's going to turn 23 in January, but I saw that he's still – younger than some of these first round picks this year.
I'm glad Lamar Jackson's young.
So that was your number. That was your number one pick.
We'll get to watch him play for about 10 years.
LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine was the. I gave credit to your team, Cam. I threw credit to your squad, the Falcons. It's just nice to beat your rival, and to do it the way they did it, and feel good about themselves. And somehow the Falcons' two wins are the Eagles and Saints, which are both pretty good teams. Shout out to the Falcons. So, number two for me, I gave it to the Steelers. I thought that was a big win for the Steelers. They're now right there, boom, smack dab in the wild card race. They actually have the sixth spot right now. And, you know, now they don't look dumb for trading a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now they look really smart because Minkah looks like the cornerstone of their back seven. You got T.J. Watt up front, and then you got Minkah holding down the back seven. Number one for me, Coach O and Joe Burrow. I will say, though, after saying it out loud, I don't want to copy you, Cody, but probably should have put Minnesota on there. You were right about that one. I forgot about
the
that.
The state of Minnesota? Just,
I was going to put the Gophers, P.J. Fleck.
You could make James Franklin a loser, maybe.
No, I got full losers.
Okay.
But you had a good submission with the Minnesota. They definitely deserve to be on there, and I'll probably put them on there when I tweet it out so that I don't get 50 messages about, what about Minnesota? What about Minnesota?
Well, they gained respect, you know.
Yeah. No, they did.
That's good.
They did. Hit me with your losers.
All right, losers. I'm gonna edge out Florida basketball here. Honorable mention Florida basketball. Number three loser, I'm going to go with South Carolina. How do you lose to the Dolphins? Wait a second. Hang on. Let me restart. All right, losers. Number three loser for me, I'm going to go with South Carolina. How do you lose to Appalachian
Appy
State?
Appy State. There you go. I was going to say, yeah, I don't know how they would have lost to
I imagine the Dolphins would beat them too, but to lose to Appalachian State, their fans have to feel so just melancholy. But, that's not the word. They have to feel so just let down. You beat Georgia, and then you turn around – and you've lost to Tennessee. You've lost to Appalachian State. You got this brutal schedule. You've had a couple of highs, but it's mainly been lows. Now you start thinking again about firing Will Muschamp. You were feeling good about him after the Georgia game.
You're thinking about how Coach O and Joe Burrow all kind of rhyme. I know Burrow doesn't really fit it, but you can make it fit.
Coach O, Joe Burrow.
Kind of crazy, huh?
Orgeron does not.
No, you just got to go O.
Rhyme with Burrow, though.
Orgeron rhymes with orange. It's the only word that rhymes with orange.
I don't think it does. Orgeron oranges. Orange. So South Carolina number three for their loss to Appalachian State. And, God, their quarterback to overthrow the guy. They had a wide open in the end zone to win the game.
Oh, God, that would be so. You would feel really, really, really bad if you were a fan there watching that replay for the next couple weeks.
You'd really be kicking yourself.
But it's. I mean, that was Helinski, right? I mean, he was still in the game when that happened, right?
Yeah.
I want to say that everyone was scared of Ryan Helinski, and I've been maintaining that guy sucks.
Yeah, he's not nothing special about him.
He is not good at football.
Yeah. Number two loser for me, I'm going to go – I group the Rams and the Chiefs together.
Okay.
Both of those teams have lost four of their last six games. Yep. Shout out to SVP for pointing this out on SportsCenter last night. They're both 2-4.
At least the Chiefs sort of kind of have an excuse. I don't know what the hell the excuse the Rams – what the kind of excuse the Rams
Jared
have.
Jared Goff maybe just not that great. I don't know.
I'll never get over them giving him that big extension before the season.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but I grouped those two teams together because those were the two teams were the highlight of the NFL last year at this time. Everybody was excited about the Rams and the Chiefs. They had that great game in LA, and now both lost four of the last six. Neither look like really a contender. I expect the Chiefs to be at the end of the year, but, you know, I don't know. And then the number one loser for me, the Colts. How do you lose to the Dolphins? That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
When I said Appalachian State. Now I'm saying it again with the Colts.
That might cost the Colts a playoff spot.
I know you didn't have your quarterback. You didn't have T.Y. Hilton. But still yet, you're
– the Dolphins, bro.
Yeah, they're the Dolphins. And like you just said, it could cost them a playoff spot. When you're contending for the wild card and maybe the division and you're right on that edge, you can't take a loss to the Dolphins. And that's exactly what the
Colts combine them losing this week with how they lost to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, not losing. Losing to the Steelers isn't necessarily embarrassing, especially in Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh's pretty good, but missing that field goal to lose, and that's pretty tough.
Yeah, and Vinatieri, man. I mean, you know, maybe time to hang it up. I thought he had his redemption, but now it just he's missing extra points. It's just something's wrong.
So the Colts, instead of being 6-3, they're now 5-4, and they play the Jaguars and Nick Foles, and then at Houston on Thursday night, and then play Tennessee. So Their season starts now, I guess. They're going to have to kind of scramble. But their schedule went from it looked favorable whenever you're like, okay, you should probably beat Pittsburgh's backup quarterback. You should probably win that game. You should beat Miami. Wow, the Colts could really be 7-2. Now they're staring at Jacksonville, at Houston, Tennessee, at Tampa, at New Orleans, home for Carolina, at Jacksonville. They got to find 5 wins there. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, especially in the AFC South. It's a lot of, the Texans and the Titans and the Jags are all fighting for the same thing.
But then you still have Carolina at New Orleans, at Tampa, the NFC South. I mean, I don't trust them to go to Tampa and win that game. I mean, they might be able to, but they're banged up. They need to get healthy in a hurry. All right, my loser of the weekend real quick. Number 3, Manchester City. Manchester City was playing Liverpool, top of the Premier League type of matchup, and then Liverpool beats them 3-1. Liverpool maybe should have been the big winners. They are pretty clear right now in the Premier League championship race. They are 8 points up. Man City finds themselves in 4th. Number 2 for me, Survivor Pools. I don't know if you guys are ever in any elimination, suicide, Survivor Pools, but I'm in one, and we had, I think, 24 people left, and I got the email yesterday that all 24 people lost yesterday. Between the Saints losing to the Falcons, between the Chiefs losing to the Titans, and the Colts losing to the Dolphins, everyone was eliminated. Just like that. Everyone wiped out.
Wow.
No one survived.
So there are 24 people left?
Yep. It started like 100 and something. I think it started with 160. And
how does that work?
You just have to pick one team a week, but you can only pick that team once a year.
Okay.
And if they lose or tie, you're out.
Okay. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
And
you only use the team once. So, like, yeah, there were 24 people left, and they all got wiped out yesterday.
So everybody obviously yesterday was thinking, oh, I'll take the Saints. They're going to beat the Falcons.
Yep. Or the Colts. Like, yeah. Hey, they're playing the Dolphins at home. Or.
And every single person.
Everyone got wiped out. So the money is now going to be split 24 ways.
That's still weird that with 24 people.
Not one person survived.
Not one person had somebody else there that could have. Yeah.
Yep. You hate to see it.
How about that? So you were one of the winners?
No. I'd been eliminated. I got knocked out like 60 left.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who it was that lost that put me out, but I think it was the Rams. At least lost one of my submissions when I took the Rams over the Bucks. I had 2 entries.
That sounds like one of those things that sounds easy, but it's actually kind of hard.
It is. I mean, especially in the NFL, because, I mean, usually, like, you know, there's only 14-point underdogs are usually the highest you can go. It's not like college football. But this year's been a little bit different with the Dolphins, you know, stinking so bad. But
it's like playing Power Hour with beer.
Yeah.
You've never done that.
I've had friends try it, though.
You take a shot of beer every minute for 60 minutes.
And then by the
and it sounds easy, like, oh, what, a shot of beer? But then you get, like, 26 in, you're like, ugh, I need to puke. You know, kind of like that.
Number one for me, I usually don't like to double dip, but my number one winner was Coach O and Joe Burrow. Can't help but feel like my number one loser is Alabama. Maybe this will be an insignificant loss if they get in the playoffs like Cody thinks, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Alabama is now going to be on the outside looking in during the playoffs. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.